Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years.
Good morning. This is Pastor Larry. Glad to speak to you again. I hope the day is finding you rejoicing in the Lord. If not, you would be honestly listening. And for those of you just tuned in, this might be an opportunity for you to have a different life. And some of us are looking for a different life other than this world that we live in, which is not good right now. And I probably don't have to belabor that point, so you can just tell by listening to your news and by your experience. There was a question by a listener not too long ago, and I'd like to try to answer that question today. And I apologize for the delay in answering the question, because I record these a little bit ahead of time. So you're going to have to expect some delay. And I just hope to get that answer, you may just continue to listen. And maybe I can relay those to Scott, and he could give the answer to you. But I'm going to answer this question because it's very important. Anything relating to the scriptures are very important. And the question was this: can a person commit such a heinous sin that God will not forgive him? It's a fair question. And I'm perceiving, and I'm assuming that the person that asked this question may think that he has committed some sin, and many people are like this, that God will not forgive them. Now, it may be along the line of fornication, adultery, maybe taking out revenge on somebody. You say, oh, I broke all the Ten Commandments, I did this, I did that. Will God ever forgive me? So the term heinous is probably needs a little bit different definition, but I'm assuming it's stuff like murder, pedophilia, rape, and I would, by worldly measures, I would consider those heinous. But we care about what God thinks. That's a fair question to ask. And this person may feel like they've done something that God cannot forgive. But let me first of all state this. According to my understanding of the Word of God, of Scripture, and we here on this podcast, I believe, and I hope you do, we believe that the Bible is a final authority and the standard for living, for our lives. It is a correct moral values that God has passed down. And I believe that Jesus Christ taught what God wanted him to teach. He was God's spokesman. He was God's representative on earth. In fact, he was God himself. So what Jesus says is absolutely true. Now, if you're listening and you don't believe that, well, then you have a problem with Scripture. You don't have a problem with me, but you have the problem with Scripture. And I would say, why don't you seek these answers out if you have that question? Because these questions depend upon your soul. Where are you going to spend eternity? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Christ is there. I believe he's alive. So what are you going to do with him? And Jesus drew that line. He asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And the same questions being asked today. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? I believe the scriptures say that Jesus Christ is a savior of the world, that he is a forgiver of sins. No one else can forgive sins. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So that's what I believe. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing these podcasts. It's not to further my cause or further the cause of anybody else. but it's to bring the message of hope and assurance and protection by Jesus Christ. So if you're listening, please do not tune me out here. This is detrimental upon your soul, upon how you live, and where you're going to spend eternity. First of all, if you have this feeling that you've committed some sin that God will not forgive, let me assure you this. First of all, but then I'll explain. There is not a sin or sins that God will not forgive, except one, and the scripture make that statement, and that is rejection of Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you die and you don't let Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart and ask Him, first of all, you have to ask Him. You just can't assume. If you don't ask Him to be your Savior, then you're going to spend eternity without Him. And that's an eternity in judgment. God will not allow sin in His heaven. He will not allow sin in His presence. He must banish you because of your choice. Always understand it's a choice you make. If you choose to go to hell, God will let you make that choice. He doesn't want you to, because He's provided a way out for you, and that's why I'm here today speaking. So that's the only sin that's unforgivable. Now, I know that it's called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but, which we don't have time to do, but I would say if you would examine the context of those passages, which are in Matthew 12, 31 through 32, in Mark 3, 28 and 29, and Luke 12, 10, it talks about this thing called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Examine the context. In short, we see that the sin the Pharisees were committing was attributing Jesus' works, and he did His work through the Holy Spirit of God. He was doing them by demons, by Satan. And they were rejecting that testimony that He was given. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When we reject what Jesus has said, the person and work of Christ, that's the rejection of Christ, that's the unforgivable sin. So, let me give you a short definition from a dictionary, a biblical dictionary, that says this. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is that the sin of unforgiveness involves a decisively and finally rejecting the testimony of the Holy Spirit regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ. I read of nothing in the New Testament that says that God will not forgive your sins because it's too heinous. You say, well, what about murder? Well, I just gave you the example, or I'm going to give you the example of David. Did not David send Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, to his death? He's implicit in that plotting and planning of the murder of Uriah. So the case is closed there on murder. I go to thievery and lying and stealing. So you have to go to the thief on the cross. When the thief recognized that Jesus Christ was the Lord and was the Savior, what did Jesus say to him? Son, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So that's forgivable. And so I believe in deathbed confessions. So, and I have led people to Christ who are on their deathbed. So, the grace of God, remember, God's very merciful and He's gracious. And Jesus demonstrated that in His life. There's a list of sins that are given in many books in the New Testament. And When they list them, it always speaks in the context of the grace and mercy of God. In fact, God told the Ephesians, or Paul told the Ephesians, that they walk in darkness. This is in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. That you used to walk in darkness, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And you can look the scriptures and find out what is the lust of the flesh. Murderers, adulteries, fornications, all those things that you can think of. And so he says to the Ephesians, you used to, but now by the mercy of God and by the grace of God, you're now in Christ. So those sins can't be forgiven. And here's the question. You say, what about a serial killer? Well, one murder, two murders, three murders. The grace of God extends even to those that commit such things. Now remember, I'm not talking about an easy way out for those who commit such crimes. I mean, the moral ramifications are much worse for people who commit those type of crimes. But listen to me. Sin is sin in front of God. Whether it's stealing, whether it's murder, whether it's a petty crime, or whether it's grand theft, it is all sin. And just little sins, we like to classify them, just little sins is enough to condemn you. You need all of your sins forgiven. Did not Jesus die for sinners? He didn't die for the righteous. He died for sinners. I could give you a list of the sins that I have committed, but I'm not gonna go through that. Maybe one time I will speak to that issue if I deem it necessary. But Jesus Christ died for sinners, and we are all sinners, because the scripture says in the book of Romans, for all have sinned. And you want to kind of emphasize that word, for all. Romans 3, I think it's 3:23 or 6:23. For all have sinned. That includes me, and that includes you. That includes the heinous crimes. That includes the not so heinous crimes. For all have sinned and fallen short. The word sin actually means to miss the mark. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches that we need forgiveness of those sins. You cannot forgive yourself. That forgiving yourself for those crimes that you say were heinous only comes through the mercy and the grace of God in your life. So your first step in committing sin is, first of all, come to Christ. Ask Him to forgive you, and He will do it. And then, if there's any ramification from those sins that you committed, that's what the Christian life is about. Walking with Jesus, learning to accept God's forgiveness, and then learning to accept forgiveness of yourself. And God helps us towards that. And did Jesus not die for sinners? Yes, He did. He did not die for those who sin the least or the little sins. We as humans look at sins, and we look at them in degrees. We compare ourselves with other people. We look at some, you know, I can compare myself to somebody before as a Christian, I looked pretty good because my sins weren't probably as bad as that person. You know, but God does not want us to compare ourselves to others. He wants us to compare ourselves to His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus made the statement at one time, He says, which of you can accuse me of sin? God expects us to compare ourselves with Jesus Christ, and we'll find ourselves short. We have fallen short. We're not as good as we think we are. You know, it's like the Pharisee and the publican praying in the temple, and the sinner, the publican, says, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I'm not worthy. And the Pharisee prays, he says, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this man that's standing next to me, full of pride. God wants people to go justified by his grace and his mercy with the attitude of the publican, not the republican, but the publican, the sinner, that said, Lord, have mercy on me. And you need to have God's mercy upon yourself. That's the first point in the healing of your sin. We can always compare ourselves. What's the greater sin? Is a man who would say or think such a thing like this? To me, the all-condemning sin is pride, just like the Pharisee had. Because pride keeps you from saying, and we're going to deal with this when we get into Satan's tactics, because he's the father of pride. Pride keeps you from saying, I need forgiveness. Pride makes you say, well, I don't need somebody telling me what to do. I'm a good person. I've done this and I've done that. I've given this. I've given that. I help poor people. I do this. I do that. That's pride. And Jesus says, you will not go down justified. You still need to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. You know, if we compare ourselves with Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, I look pretty good. And so do you. But like I said, God wants us to compare ourselves to his sinless son, Jesus Christ. So the most heinous sin is rejecting, in fact, this is scripture, is rejecting Jesus Christ as God's provision for you. Any other sin, Jesus Christ can forgive. I know it's hard for us. My brother was killed here in a car accident by a drunk driver 2 years ago. Now, I struggle with the fact, can I forgive him for what he did? Yes, I can. And God can forgive him for what he has done. So God can forgive all sin, but if we got to stop looking at others and look at Christ. Of course, God sees sin as heinous because it sends people to hell, but he's also merciful that he will forgive you. So if you're listening to this broadcast right now, and you've committed some sin that you do not think God will forgive, even as a Christian, you could commit some terrible sin. I know I did it. Jesus Christ will still forgive you if, in sincerity, in your heart, you repent and you come to him asking for his mercy. Go through some of the Psalms and look at David. Psalm 53 is a prime example when he committed the sin of murder with Uriah and the sin with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Read his heart. And if you come in that attitude, Jesus Christ will forgive you. I don't care what you've done. And we can come to the point that we can figure that, and Satan uses this, that we've committed such a heinous sin that I can't ask forgiveness because God will never forgive me. He wants you to believe that. That's a trick of our enemy. To think that you cannot be forgiven because you committed some type of sin. And even for the believer. Because what happens? You're not out there putting on the armor of God and being a witness for him because you're groveling in this unforgivable sin that you think is unforgivable. Therefore, Satan says, gotcha. We must understand that we can come to the throne of grace boldly in the time of need. And Jesus Christ, our advocate, will forgive us. He'll go to the Father and say, they are covered by my death and my blood. I save them. Isn't that wonderful news that the scriptures give? And why wouldn't she do that? Why do you want to say that God will not forgive me? He will forgive you. Sin has left its indelible stain on our souls. And God will not let us into his presence without the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us clean of that stain. Yes, God will let a murderer, a pedophile, a rapist, a tyrant, and anyone who truly repents in their heart and forsakes their sin and receives Jesus Christ as a savior of the soul, God will forgive you. You know, you read in the Old Testament many times where Israel rejected their God and went after other gods. Evil, heinous gods like Asherah, who the Israelites would sacrifice their children by setting them into the heated white-hot lap of that bronze idol and offer them as sacrifices to that god. But God said he would forgive them if they return to him in repentance. And so God will forgive you for what you have done in your ignorance or in our ignorance. So God's mercy, in closing, and forgiveness exceeds our understanding of it. It's difficult for us to forgive serious crimes against us, but God doesn't think that way. Where he says in Isaiah 55:8-9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So, my friends, rest in the thought that God will forgive you. Please, please, if you don't know him as your Savior, come to him. Come to Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the only way to the Father. Come for the forgiveness of your sins. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.